Lowe's knows that saving is always top of mind, especially this season. That's why we've picked some great deals for early Black Friday. Get free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit. More tools? Why not? Plus, we've got select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at $59.98 because it's never too early to think Christmas. Get Black Friday prices without the crowds. Lowe's, we help. You save. While supplies last, selection varies by location. On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Cue the scary music. The Dodgers' once 8-game lead is now 2 games in the division here on Thursday, August 7th. It's the Deferred Collusion Podcast. It's me, Jesse Rowe, King of Crespi, joined as always by Brandon Bullinger, Lord Paramount of Los Angeles, California. But Brandon, we're not sweating it, buddy, are we?
Oh, no, not at all, Jess. It has been some ugly happenings on that baseball field for us Dodger fans the last... Man, feels like forever in a day, but at least the last month. And this damn Cardinals team just has our number. Yeah. I want to beat them. I don't want to lose 2 out of 3 at home. I don't want to make a throwing error late in the game. But you know what? That's neither here nor there because it's happening in August. It's not happening in October. So let's get these little kinks out while we get healthy and we get stronger. Jess, there is a lot to still be excited about. Yeah. Like you mentioned.
And I wore a little bit of color today, a little bit of flair just to sort of spice up the mood. Mm. This is a shirt that my people are going to be making fun of my shirt. I just want you to let them. My nephew made this for me. We were doing tie-dye shirts together, so I wanted to wear it and just sort of bring the joy back because it seems like there hasn't been a lot of joy for Dodger fans lately. But I think we're on to greener pastures, buddy. I see nothing but sunshine on the horizon.
Mm. Love that. It is, yeah. I don't know, there is, call me crazy, there's something infectious about that shirt, dude. It's making me think of my favorite 31 flavors ice cream, Rainbow Sherbet. I know it's a sherbet, not technically an ice cream, but it's my favorite, right. And that is what that shirt is giving.
I thought you were going to say Cherry Garcia.
Whoa, dude, you're my deadhead. I was going to mention that next, although I know you're my fish guy. Mm-hmm. Shouts out Trey Anastasio. I know you're a listener. All those fish fans out there, what's up, dude? I'm not, but I guess there's always time to learn, right, Jess?
I missed out. They were actually at the, I think it was the Bowl or the Greek Theater, I forget, but they were here in LA just like a couple months ago. Missed it. Haven't seen them in like 7 or 8 years, but there was a time.
White culture that I want to be a part of someday. That sounds fun.
Not in your algorithm.
It's not in my algo, dude. But I'm glad you're having fun, Jess.
I am. So we were 8 games up. What was it like a month and a half ago?
Yeah.
Deadline. Yeah. It seemed like we kind of just had a stranglehold on this thing. Trade deadline has come and gone, and the Padres made a lot of big moves. Probably were the – you can call them winners. They were definitely the biggest risk takers of the deadline. They made some big moves.
Most aggressive, definitely.
Definitely. Add to their bullpen, add to their outfield. They traded away their top prospect, DeVries, for Mason Miller. So, you know, there's some good pieces for the – Oakland Athletic for the Athletics when they go to Las Vegas, that's for sure. They got some good pieces to go, but the Padres are they're making a run at it. AJ Preller is a fucking lunatic. I'm not going to break down exactly what I think about the moves, but I do think what they have done has certainly closed the gap, and they're definitely a threat at this point. But I don't think that Dodger fans should be worrying too much, simply because before we really get into the nitty-gritty of what happened in the series and what's going on, I just want to remind everybody about a very specific statistic. Is that last year, after 115 games, the Dodgers were 3 games up with a 66 and 49 record.
Mm-hmm.
This year, and remember, they won the World Series last year. If you, I don't know if you remember,
I remember that.
They did win the World Series. They are 66-49 through 115 games with a 2-game lead.
That's the same number.
It's the exact same number. Just one game less. Yeah. So just to put some things in perspective for you all, the Dodgers are still very much in a great position, and they've been doing this without the help of Mookie Betts, really. Mm-hmm. They've been doing this. You know, they lost Max Muncy for a month. Mm-hmm. They haven't had a starting pitching staff for the most part. Glasnow just came back. Snell just came back. There's a lot to help you put some things in perspective. And if you're worrying about the division, there's a chance the Dodgers aren't going to win the division this year, but there's no reason to panic on that just yet. There's still a lot of time to go. This team is nowhere near what we think that they could be fully healthy. So
Jesse, I got to give you a little pushback right there. I just want to ask all of our listeners, you would have noticed that you said, even if we don't win the division, there's no need to worry. Are you punting on the division already? Do you think that it's likely that the Dodgers will be leaped by the Little Brothers down south this season?
No, I still think that the Dodgers are a better team than the Padres. What I'm saying is like, even if that were to happen, what have we seen historically in the Dodgers' time as dominating the division is that these division championships don't really matter all that much when it comes time for October, the crapshoot of October. What really matters is how well are the Dodgers playing come October. That's really my only concern at this point. So I'm just hoping that, like, in the next month, this team has kind of figured some things out, because I think that they have clearly some issues on the fundamental side of things that they're needing to tighten up, because I think that's costing them games at this point. It was nice to see Mookie kind of have a couple of decent games.
He got a standing ovation on Monday from the crowd. Didn't work. Yeah. But you did it. You tried it. But I don't know. Do you think they're going to start booing him?
Yeah, maybe that'll work. That's what the Yankee fans would do. Maybe that's what they would do to Devin Williams to get him going.
They are crumbling in front of their fans' very eyes. So, you know, I get a little bit of frustration if you're a Yankees fan right now. I'm frustrated as a Dodger fan.
Yeah.
I was just dancing around town, you know, just a couple weeks ago. We were 8 games up. Now it's 2. It is getting a little hairy out there. But like you said, Muncy's back, had a couple of bing bongs. Really changes the whole makeup of that Dodgers lineup. Really makes them a little bit more formidable, a little more balanced. You have a left-handed bat to insulate Teo, who's been struggling. You know, Tommy Edman twists his ankle. He's also been struggling, kind of fighting the injury bug all season. If you'll remember when we acquired him last trade deadline, he hadn't played in the first half of the season at all, rehabbing from injury. So I guess this is a little bit of that pendulum swinging, but no reason to worry. I think it's like a light sprained ankle. So he should be back. We do expect him to keep contributing high caliber defense and that bat to wake up. There has been a little bit of reason to be concerned about old friend Kike Hernandez and that elbow issue. Not clear if he's going to make it back this season. But Hyesung Kim is on the mend. And old friend Roki Sasaki, a little reinforcements on the arm. He's been pitching, getting back into the right mindset, I think, more importantly. But you know what? No, I take that back. Just as important, right? He's pain-free. Yeah. So, like you already mentioned about Snell, about Glasnow, now adding Roki. Gratterall is due back in September. Trinan's already back with the squad. Had some mixed results, but definitely getting that major league sharpening going again, you know? So I think there's a lot of reasons to be enthused about the Dodgers looking like a completely different animal in just a few weeks from today, you know?
Yeah, Shohei's going 4 innings now, too. Like, he just pitched 4 innings. So he is, he's a couple starts away from getting up to that 5th inning. So
yeah. I mean, that's sizable, right? So yeah. He goes four innings, gave up two hits, one run, but, you know, a little weirdness on that. Eight Ks, had 54 pitches, dude, 37 strikes. He recorded a season high, 8 strikeouts. I think that was most impressive in those four innings. It's just, he's just hungry, dude. He's attacking, and it's cool to see him in a Dodgers uniform pitching, dude. Sorry, I can't believe it, though. He gets his 1,000th hit, right? 1,000th hit. It's a home run, and it just ends up being this, like, Angels stat line. Like, Shohei, K's 8, hits his 1,000th hit. It's a homer, and a Dodgers 5-2 loss to the St. Louis Cardinals.
5-3. Was that 5-3?
Sorry.
Whatever.
Sorry.
Yeah. You know, look, they're – obviously, it was not a good series for the Dodgers, but I think that there are just like a couple of things that happened in that series that was just small mistakes that could have easily been a sweep. And in the Shohei outing, I mean, the run that he gave up, let's discuss. He gave up one run was because of Miguel Rojas losing a pop fly in the sun. You know, and that's really, otherwise this would have been a scoreless outing. The run that took the lead in the late innings was because Alex Friedland decided to try to throw out a runner at second base and threw the ball away, and then the game-winning run scored.
Yeah.
You know, these
and
are
up until that point,
small
he's
mistakes,
been great, too.
Just
he's another
be
reason
up.
To be excited.
Wait, say that again?
Sorry, I didn't mean to. I totally just steamrolled you. But I was just saying, up until that moment, he's been playing great, and he's been another reason to be excited. You know, it's like, oh, wow, we just got this stud just kind of waiting, you know. I think he's batting around 280-something right now in limited play time, a couple ribbies. But
right, so that was a game that the Dodgers could have easily won. And then in the first game of the series, Glasnow, great outing, seven innings, two runs, you know, That's a game that you expect to win.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the Dodgers also gave Muncy a day off on the third day. They're playing him two games and then giving him 2 days off to sort of like help him get acclimated back. So that's why the offense maybe like was a little out of sync in the final game. Not making excuses, just saying that there's a lot of different things happening right now for why the Dodgers aren't putting together a consistent winning stretch over the past month.
Totally.
And there's just a lot of different injuries and a lot of different things that they're just not clicking. Like when the offense has a good game, the pitching doesn't. When the pitching has a good game, the offense doesn't. It's sort of, they're just out of sync. I do believe that they'll get it together. And again, all that needs to happen, they win a series against the Padres next week, and all of a sudden, you know, that leads back up to 4 games. So, you know, there's no reason to panic. If the Padres sweep the Dodgers, I might start worrying a little bit. But
there
again,
you go. That's
fair. I still think that this team, even if they get into a wild card, you know, we know what they were capable of in 2021 when they lost to the Braves, but they ended up beating the Giants. I still think that they're a team that's like they can beat any team in this league as constructed. They have the best roster, so there's no reason to panic. Just get there, and they will, you know, if they're destined to win, they're destined to win. But I still believe that they are the best roster in baseball.
I like that.
So, go
ahead.
What was your what was your thought just of the Cardinals series as a whole? Did you feel what is going on with playing the NL Central? By the way, it just seems like every single team in the Central just has the Dodgers number.
It's just driving me nuts, and it just, you know, the late innings, the lack of offense, you know, game two, there was that big explosion, but, you know, games one and three, it's just can't buy a hit, can't buy timely hitting, really. I was indifferent about the Brock Stewart addition.
Yeah.
I know we were looking at the stats of him and Mason Miller, and I was like, oh, dude, Feliceman on it again, but in the first 3 games, he's given up 6 hits, 2 earned runs, a walk, a hit by pitch, and 2 strikeouts. He's labored in all 3 outings. Dodger fans may remember him drafted back by the Dodgers in 2014. He was with the big league team, I think, in 2016 through 19 before getting traded to Toronto. And he's had a good season, but not looking good. Wasn't getting what we needed from him these last three games. So maybe if it's not a new guy they're trotting out there, maybe Vesia gets an opportunity to close in those situations because he's been so great for us. In all facets, really, as a stopgap, as a setup guy, high leverage guy, and, you know, getting a few saves here and there. But, you know, he's been another one of the just stars of the bullpen for us, you know, a guy that people begged to get out of our team, you know, or off our roster just a few seasons ago as he struggled and was sent up and down.
And to your point about Stewart, I was happy with the move to get Brock Stewart, but as like a complimentary bullpen piece, you know, you don't want to see him be like a guy that's pitching super high leverage moments in like the eighth inning. I mean, I guess that's what he's kind of has to do right now while Gratterall's on the shelf, while Trinan sort of figuring things out, while
Kopech's on the shelf.
Tanner Scott is still getting healthy. You know, Kopech's out for the year, so...
Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Let's go back out for the year.
Yeah, his meniscus, he's not coming back.
That's right. I'm totally
so stupid. You know, wait, that was the only reason why when the trade deadline passed, I was disappointed. I still think the Dodgers had a good trade deadline, but you know, it was really more so like recouping prospects. They got James Tibbs for Dustin May, so they got a good prospect in return, but they didn't really get any sort of impact player that could really help the same way that the Padres got Ramon Laureano for left field. He's going to make a huge impact for them. They got Mason Miller. They gave up way too much to get him, but he's a huge impact piece for their bullpen, even though, as you mentioned, Brock Stewart's numbers were technically better this year.
Yeah.
Sometimes those stats can be misleading if a relief pitcher is pitching on a bad team where there's not a lot of pressure. Now he goes to the Dodgers. They really need him. Those numbers can change in pretty fucking quickly, right? So we'll see. I still like the move, but just based on what the Dodgers have available in the bullpen on the way, they better hope that Gratterall and Scott are good to go this year. Because that's I just don't know if this what we have right now in the bullpen is enough.
I agree.
I think that's fair, trust Friedman and company that these guys are going to be okay. I trust it.
I agree. And I think with that starting pitching coming back and Shohei able to eat, you know, 5+ innings, I think we might see maybe Brock Stewart moved maybe into like a little bit of like an early relief setup kind of guy, you know, like, hey, if, you know, the plan is for Snell to go 5, maybe have Stewart come out and eat, you know, 6th, 7th inning or something like that and get us to the bullpens, try and save an arm. I could see something like that. Although not traditional, the Dodgers have always worked in very analytical ways, right, to try and give the biggest bang for your buck. There's also Emmett Sheehan, who I'm obviously glossing over.
Going to bring him up.
Yeah, he had a great start. Kind of got lost after that loss. Was that Friday? Did he pitch Friday or was it Sunday?
He pitched yesterday.
He pitched Sunday.
No, sorry. He pitched Saturday. I apologize. He pitched Saturday. You're right. Shohei pitched yesterday. Yeah.
That's right. I'm all over the place right now, dude.
Yeah.
Emmett is a big boon back for the starting staff. I still could see him. I don't know. I could see him as like a number 4 guy. Like, honestly, like, right? Oh,
Sheehan has been great. He's a 3 ERA guy. He's been exactly what the Dodgers need him to be. And like, I think that the starting staff is looking really good now that Snell is back.
Yeah.
You've got Glasnow, Snell, Yamamoto, Shohei, Sheehan. Who am I missing here?
Kershaw. And like, then, there you go. Like I mentioned, you know, Roki is on the way back. And if we can get Roki looking any form of his, Nippon League self, right. Like that's a huge, equivalent of a trade line acquisition.
And who's to say that Roki's going to be starting games when that's October comes around? Like, who's to say that you don't have Roki Sasaki, this guy that, like, hey, let him, maybe he won't be able to start five or six innings, but in a seven game playoff series, you're only going to throw out four starting pitchers, right? But why not have Roki on the roster as a guy that could come in long relief, air it out for two innings, be a huge weapon out of the pen, with nasty stuff, because his arm is supposedly feeling healthy. I love the idea of Roki Sasaki coming out of the bullpen, like in the middle of games. Like let's say Shohei can only go five innings. Why not have Roki pitching on the days that Shohei does?
I like that.
I feel like there's a huge opportunity there. He could be a guy that comes in late relief. Who knows? We don't need Roki Sasaki to be a starting pitcher this year. We don't. We have plenty of weapons. So I love the idea of that, assuming that his velocity is back. Because as we saw, when he went on the shelf, his velocity was at like 93, 94, 95 miles an hour. And his fastball just doesn't profile as well at that velocity. It needs to be in the high 90s for it to really be effective. So
100%. But let's assume that he comes back and he's ticking, 99 again. I love the idea of like using Roki as like an opener type, let him get three innings and then let an old man Kirsch come change speed on you for three innings. Then all of a sudden, we're in the seventh, baby.
Right. But that's what I'm saying is I feel like with what the Dodgers have right now, assuming health, assuming that Yama, that Shohei, that Glasnow, that Sheehan, that Snell, that all these guys are healthy, I don't think you're going to need openers in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I actually think Roki's going to be like a mid relief guy on games where like maybe Shohei's pitching or Kershaw's pitching, guys that can't go six, seven innings.
Yeah. So, to your point, as of yesterday, Wednesday, August 6th, it's being reported by MLB.com that Roki Sasaki is scheduled to throw three simulated innings in LA. So to your point, Jess, three innings. So we're kind of building up that bulk. And who knows, maybe they've already kind of outlined that plan with him. They're going to get him stretched out and ready for I don't know what you would call it. Start.
Yeah, because look at it this way. Like, it makes more sense to me because when you look at the bullpen and don't look at what we did do at the deadline. Look at what we didn't do. We didn't add much beyond Brock Stewart in terms of who can help us in the major league team right now. We did get a couple of relievers in the trade to Tampa Bay, and we obviously got back Tibbs for Dustin May. But you look at it, like, you have to expect Kirby Yates will come back. Do you have a ton of trust in Kirby Yates at this point? Like, I know that he's been solid, but he hasn't been great.
No, he started off hot. He's been rough the last, honestly, what, like month and a half?
Yeah. And Tanner Scott, I still believe in Tanner Scott. I know a lot of Dodger fans have lost faith. At this point, how are we all feeling right now? We kind of are like, fuck, we need this guy back, right? Like, we all kind of agree on this. So assuming those two guys are healthy, they still don't instill a ton of trust. So,
yeah.
But then there's Kasperius. There's Jack Dreyer, Alexis Diaz, Brock Stewart, Blake Trinan.
Well, Jesse, if I can, let me.
It's looking like a little bit fuzzy there. Like, I'm not 100% sure. I think Sasaki would fit in well.
Yeah, I totally think you nailed something right there, man, when you said that, like, you have a lack of trust, right? Yeah. And a lot of that is predicated on health in terms of our arms, right? There's just been, like, who knows what we're going to get this week, if somebody's going to get some, inflammation or a tightness or a pinch, God forbid, and, especially that bullpen. But I think that goes the same for our offense. And, yes, I know it's been plagued with injuries and illness this season, but it's like a lack of trust. And I think that's because we've been a boom or bust offense all season where we've kind of relied on the homer and haven't had a really even or like any type of like just scoring consistency. Like, it doesn't feel like this team has a lot of like clutch factor. You know, it felt like every other game last season, Teo was coming up with two outs and runners in scoring position and getting an opportunity to, you know, send one for a ride or having long at bat. Same thing with Freddie. And, you know, Freddie's been waking up a little bit. Same thing with Teo. So I don't
Freddie's been on fire. Freddie's smoking absolutely the shit out of the ball right now.
He's humping, right? But
and Teo had a good series. Teo had a good series too.
Totally. But just my point is that, like, the Dodgers have been inconsistent in their run scoring all season. So it's hasn't instilled that same amount of trust that I think that we had last season in our big three and in Teo. I think that, you know,
right,
it's back with Muncy, right? Had a couple homers on Saturday's game. But I think it's still like, do we trust that he's going to be healthy? Is there another, you know, is there going to be an arm injury like we saw a couple years ago and this knee thing? But, you know, fingers crossed, everything being equal, I just hope he stays this rock in the middle of our lineup. You know, him, yeah, Will Smith have been, you know, really the only consistent bright spots offensively for the last couple months. And I know Muncy missed the last 4 weeks, but
yeah. And I know we haven't talked at all about Alex Call, who the Dodgers just landed from Washington, who I like as a, you know, as a guy that can split some time, platoon a little bit. He didn't have a massive series. Oh, sorry. He did. He had a good game. He went 2-for-3 in yesterday's game. But he, you know, you're not looking at him as a guy that's going to hit a ton of home runs. You know, he's just going to be a nice complimentary piece.
Totally.
And a guy who gets on base. So you're right. It's really what this comes down to is Max Muncy, how healthy is he? Because he's looked great so far.
Mm-hmm.
And can Mookie Betts get going? Because I believe that Teoscar Hernandez, he's a guy that feeds off of the energy of the team, and that he's a he's a complementary piece to the big three of the Dodgers. He's only as good as the big three is when they're operating, because he's, you know, he benefits so much from how vicious that 1-3 is to start the game, and then he can have, you know, big hits in big moments. But if everybody else is struggling, It you know, Teoscar kind of becomes a little bit more exploitable, you know, and because he is more of a boom or bust kind of guy at times. So really, Mookie just needs to get it going. His on base percentage is awful, but he did start swinging the bat pretty well in this series. He was making harder contact in the series before it. There are signs of life in his bat. It's just he needs to get onto a hot streak so that he can get his confidence back, because that's what it's all about. Because I was one of the people that was saying, you know, oh, we need to get Mookie off of shortstop. It's affecting his offense. But then you look at the defensive numbers, and he's like second in the league in run saved or something. I forget what the stat is, but he's actually been one of the better shortstops in baseball. So,
yeah, man.
You know, we're just going to have to hope that bat wakes up and just believe in the player, because I believe that this offense goes as far as Mookie will take it. He's always been the most special player on any team. And I know Shohei is an alien. He's a unicorn. He's a freak show. But really, in reality, like, this team relies so much on Mookie and you know, what he does on a day-to-day basis. Just the consistency of good at-bats, good quality contact. And, you know, if he's not doing it, the Dodgers are going to have some trouble.
Yeah, man, he is the straw that stirs the drink, no doubt about that.
Yeah.
Like you said, there's no reason not to believe he's going to come out of this. And literally, from just a, like, statistics perspective, like, he can't be this bad.
No. I still believe he's
right, dude?
I still believe he's a breakout candidate to end the year. Yeah. I still believe it, that he could.
Do you think he just needs some glasses?
Got to go to the same eye doctor as Muncy.
That's what I've been thinking.
Yeah. Or he needs to start eating some fucking creatine, dude, because he's been hitting a lot of balls that are just like dying on the warning track.
Get some creatine in you, bud.
Dodger fans, keep the positivity.
Hey, and, you know, speaking of positivity, Will Smith has been a legitimate, like, and the only real MVP candidate outside of Shohei, right, on the team. Like, not Freddie, not Mookie, none of our pitchers. Like, you know, it's fucking Captain America, Will Smith. So that's been awesome. The platooning with Dalton rushing has been great. That's been a great I'm just sorry. That's just been such a cool. I love seeing a Dodgers catcher. I grew up watching Piazza.
Yeah.
You know, LaDuca was in there for a while, but like Russell Martin, like there's just a great, like, you know, AJ Ellis, just these guys you love just behind the dish. And, you know, I'm not even talking about Grandal or Barnsey yet, but there's just been a great long line of catchers. And Will Smith, I think, is that jewel in the crown of Dodger catcher legends.
He's having the best season of his career. He's clearly the second best catcher in baseball this season. And, yeah, I don't know where we'd be without Will Smith this season. No question
Definitely
about it. We'd be nowhere without him. Dodgers face the Blue Jays this weekend. We're gonna break that. We won't break that down. But one thing, you know what? I'm going to rearrange the notes just before we move on to the other topics because this is a little out of order here. We have a big matchup tomorrow.
Yeah, we do.
It's a legendary matchup. Clayton Kershaw versus Max Scherzer. Both guys will be taking the bump, both future Hall of Famers. And, you know, both are actually looking pretty decent. I mean, Kershaw's been pretty good. Scherzer, I think, has actually looked pretty good in his last couple of starts. I haven't looked up his numbers, but...
Yeah, he started the year on the IL, right?
Yeah. But it reminds us because there was a famous moment that sort of started making the headway on the internet, got started gamers, that there was a game something like 15 years ago between the Dodgers.
Yeah, I think it was 2008. It was 17 years ago or something like that.
It was Dodgers Diamondbacks, and it was supposed to be Greg Maddux versus Randy Johnson.
Crazy.
And Vin Scully is, you know, giving the whole spiel about it, and he says, well, unfortunately, this was supposed to be a great legendary pitching matchup between Randy Johnson and Greg Maddux.
When you think boots, you think Ariat. You think comfort from day one and durability to day 1,000. You think steel toes on the job, square toes on the dance floor, with style that owns a Saturday night and still looks sharp enough for Sunday dinner. And through every mile and every moment, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, turn bad ideas into better stories, and still punch the clock come Monday morning. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat boots at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
But instead, it'll be two youngsters between Max Scherzer and Clayton Kershaw. I mean, literally, like, the two sides of the same coin. And who would have known? Who would have known?
Yeah, that where we I are? Think I think Scherzer was like 24, and Kershaw was 20. I think they had Kershaw had like 3 wins, and I don't think Scherzer had as yet. Like that's how early on into these guys' careers it was. It's just iconic, and I just think any baseball fan should tune in for a little bit just to catch a couple of legends and genuine like pitching icons of this era. Go at it what may be for the last time, at least in the regular season.
Yeah, unless it's the World Series. And it could be. The Blue Jays have taken over that division.
Well, they got a chokehold on it, baby.
This is probably the last time you'll see Scherzer versus Kershaw. And there was a time where if it wasn't Verlander, it was Scherzer who was challenging Kershaw's crown for best pitcher in baseball. So
absolutely.
It should be a good one. But the Milwaukee Brewers have started running away with their division. They are 20-4 since promoting Andrew Vaughn on July 7th. Crazy. I don't know why we put that into the notes because I haven't been paying attention to Andrew Vaughn at all. But
yeah, I haven't been paying much attention to him, but I have been paying attention to the Brewers just blowing away the Cubs in the NL Central. And I thought that was a division a month ago that was just locked up by the Cubbies. It's been very frustrating watching the NL Central just run roughshod over our billion-dollar Dodgers. But I got to give credit where credit's due. The Brewers have been cutthroat in arbitration, and, you know, we watched Willy Adames just leave, and they traded Devin Williams and Josh Hader a few years back, and da-da-da-da. But damn it, they just keep fighting, and they just keep winning. And it's honestly, again, just as a baseball fan, like, good. I'm glad Christian Yelich gets to be on a first place team. Like, it's cool. But, you know, come October, I would just want to beat your brains in, dude. Just all over that cheesy Wisconsin state, dude. I don't give two hecks about you. But for now, enjoy. Beat up on the Cubs. That's fun.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, It's amazing. They do it every year, and they were our pick to win the Central. So we shouldn't be too surprised.
A couple of ball knowers, if there ever was one. Yeah, I do apologize about those notes being out of order.
No. I decided to move the Kershaw thing up a little bit.
Which I do love. But there was something I wanted to talk about just, you know, as we're kind of getting towards the end and, you know, just talking about some of the finer things that we may not witness again. I think, Jess, we don't take for I don't think we take enough appreciation for what's really going on between the Dodgers and the Padres and how heated this rivalry really has become. And I know I caught a bunch of shit earlier this season for calling it a rivalry, but it is. It really is. Just ask Mason Miller when he's signing or whatever the paperwork they got to become a Padre, and they show him like a team orientation about how we hate the guys up north. And I mean, Jess, you can jump in a little bit, but is this just not the most blatant display of living rent-free in an opponent's head that you've ever seen in sporting?
Yeah, I mean, look, so for those who don't know, when Mason Miller was doing his meeting with the Padres as he had just gotten traded there, there was some sort of like a piece of paper or something where when they were having their first like introductory meeting with him, they were like, you know, you're here to help us do this. And also, we really don't like the Dodgers. Like, you're here to help us beat the Dodgers. And yeah, look. If you want to call it a rivalry, is it a rivalry if it's a rival, if like one team views it as a rivalry? Like if one team is obsessed with the other team, like sure, then I guess it's a rivalry. But like if you think that the Dodgers are trading for players, and then the first thing that they say to the guy, like Alex Call comes in or Brock Stewart comes in, and they're like, "Hey, Brock, those Padres down there, like, you better fucking hate those guys, you know, because you're not going to fit in here." You know, like, it doesn't happen here. It doesn't happen on the Dodgers. That is definitely rent-free for sure. And I know that, like, I see comments all the time from Padre fans on social media. Like, whenever anything happens between Dodgers and Padres, it's like, oh, Padres living rent-free in the Dodgers' heads again. It's like, this is so clearly obvious that it's lopsided in one direction.
Like, honestly, I call it a rivalry just because it has gotten so heated over the last few years. But because of goofy shit like this, it's hard to take them serious because it's like, come on, have some respect for yourself. Like, don't have your, like, big, like trade deadline acquisition. You're 104 mile an hour young stud you got for a few years, you know, it cost you a king's ransom, whatever. But like that, his big takeaway from signing with you is that like, whoa, we really want to beat the Dodgers.
Yeah. And I don't even think this happens Red Sox Yankees.
How could it? Right. Because it's just so self like evident, right?
It sounds insecure to me. Like,
totally. And I think that is the biggest like flaw in my argument that it is a rivalry, right? Is that the Yankees and Red Sox would never have to do that because it's so ingrained in the sport. It's a rivalry. The Giants and Dodgers don't have to do that for each other because it's a blatant rivalry.
I think what you're trying to say, the Padres are really trying hard to make Fetch happen.
Whoa.
Any fans of the movie Mean Girls out there?
That's why you're my cinephile.
Written and directed by Tina Fey.
They're trying to make
Fetch happen. Yeah.
That's why you, the smart viewer, should go ahead and like, subscribe, share, and tell your friends about Deferred Collusion, the blue collar podcast that you, the smart viewer.
It's true. It's like they're trying to convince everybody. They're trying to convince everybody that this is the most heated rivalry. And sure, it's a heated, contentious like rivalry for like right now. But like, that's just because these are the two best teams in the division right now. That doesn't mean like, were the Yankees and Rays rivals, like a heated rivalry like 3 years ago when it was those two teams at the top?
You know what, dude? You know? I think there's something to be said for just having two, I'll just say it. They have the two biggest collections of talent in baseball. I mean, you could make an argument for the Phillies and the Mets for sure, but the most just tightly packed group of stars is in the Padres and Dodgers systems, and it's and I feel like that's why the on-field rivalry feels so hot, is because it's like you have just a bunch of apex predators on this little diamond all fighting for, you know, just that little pedestal, just that little incremental notch to be like, nah, I'm the big dog, you're the little brother. And maybe that's really what it is, and the Padres are doing everything they can to get that, like, that soul into it, right? That emotion into it that comes from a real, true blood rivalry.
Yeah, and I think it's something that started when Manny Machado left the Dodgers to go to the Padres. And because that's deeply rooted in this. You know what it reminds me of a little bit?
Montagues and Capulets?
Yeah, that's exactly right. No, it reminds me of the Houston Rockets and the Golden State Warriors. And for any NBA fans out there, in 2017 to 2019, when the Rockets, they traded for James Harden, they went out and they got Chris Paul. They had Clint Capella. They put together this team where they were just, they were designing a team that could shoot a ton of three-pointers and draw a ton of fouls, and they were literally trying to design a team specifically to beat the Golden State Warriors, right? That was their obsession, was beating the Warriors. And it was almost like they were more obsessed with beating the Warriors than they were winning the championship. And it almost feels like that's like the Padres, because they've been holding on to that world, that 2022 series for the past, whatever it is, for the past 3 years now, because that was their World Series, right? That was their, that's their greatest claim to fame. They would probably claim that more than their World Series appearance back in, you know, like the 90s. They'd probably claim that as their greatest, I'm serious, their greatest accomplishment in the history of their franchise was beating the Dodgers. And that is why it's little brother syndrome. It's weak-minded, because you're like, there are, you have to look at it, how do we win the championship? And they're obsessed with one team. You know, that is their championship, and they could be okay with losing after beating the Dodgers. And for the Dodgers, it's like, no, we've lost to the Cardinals, we've lost to the Diamondbacks, we've lost to the Padres, we've lost to the Phillies, we've lost to the Astros, you know, the Red Sox. Like, that's they're all about just doing whatever they can to win. Where it seems like the Padres just obsess over one team every year. And it reminds me of the Rockets. Sorry, I rambled a little bit there.
No, dude, I'm picking up what you're putting down. I'm sipping your sake. I feel like
they're not building a championship mentality, is what I'm saying. They're building a like a mentality of like hatred. It's almost like they're not playing to like be like a team unit. They're playing.
Jesse, I think I got this. I feel like you're saying that if there were two, you know, analogous figures, let's just say, I don't know, Obi-Wan Kenobi and, you know, Anakin Skywalker. Whoa. I feel like you're saying that although these two have trained, they're you know, geographically locked together. They're so similar. You know, Manny used to be a Dodger, you know, blah, 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 blah. He got his first taste at, you know, a World Series, his only taste of a World Series series with the Dodgers, and has believed he was going to be the chosen one, right, for the San Diego Padres. But Jesse, I think that you've recognized something, and that there's some fear in Manny. Fear that he's not going to deliver for these Padres. And unfortunately, where there's fear, Jesse, there's anger. And whether there's anger, that clouds your judgment, Jess. And then you start acting a little irrational. And when you're irrational, that leads to hate, Jess. And just
anger,
hate leads to suffering, and you're watching these Padres suffer under the weight of their own hate, as so eloquently said by Mason Miller. You know, it's not about winning the World Series; it's about beating the Dodgers. Whereas I believe there's a good contingent of Dodger fans who really feel like the only thing that can beat the Dodgers is themselves,
is the Dodgers. We're not healthy,
you know, if we all are out there if all our guys are healthy and they're all playing to the names on the back of the jersey, that there isn't a team out there that can beat us on our best day. But that's not
the truth. The truth is, the Padres know that too, and the Padre fans know that too. And I think that's where a lot of the insecurity comes from. But also, I think the insecurity comes from establishing yourself as like a great city in California. And like the Dodgers and Giants, the LA and San Francisco economies, I'm going to go on a little weird tangent here. They are so much more important to the country, you know, like Silicon Valley, Los Angeles, Hollywood. These economies take up such a huge part of our GDP in the country. San Diego, you know, it has a good economy, but it's not so much. They're just not as important to the rest of the country. You know what I mean? It's more of a place where people go to like be chill, have good vibes, man. It's not like people get shit done in LA and San Francisco. You know what I mean? You're not a real city.
The real question, Jesse, and I feel like every friend that I have that either like is from or lives in San Diego just claims that San Diego has better Mexican food than LA proper. What do you think?
It's the same shit. It's all the same. Like LA is in San Diego. No, it's the same.
I disagree. LA's better, dude. Fuck you, dude. Yeah. Let's go. Yeah. I'm not seating square one, but that's what we do, dude. We get a little irrational in sports, and it's going to be a fun race. Whatever. Let's fight. That's what we not. Yeah. In the stands, people, not in the parking lots. But
no,
like,
let the players fight.
Let the players fight on the field and have a good time. Have a couple beers, suck down a couple dodgy dogs. But
I'll let you wrap this one, Brandon.
Yeah, Jess. So I saw a little blurb out there on Reddit, and it was about something that I can't really pronounce, but it's a Japanese term for basically when a player, like let's say Ichiro Suzuki, that's where this term originally comes from. When Ichiro was on the Mariners, there was a term for when he would have an outstanding game, you know, do everything he can to help the team win, and then the Mariners would lose. So I was reading about this term. Naoma was the term. I'm doing my best to pronounce it. I apologize. But Naoma basically translates to however the Mariners lost. So when Shohei joined the league, this term was readapted for the GOAT while he was on the Angels. Okay. And has now been updated for the Dodgers. Luckily for Shohei fans across the pond there, the Dodgers don't lose like this too often. But the term has now officially been adopted. Because Shohei pitched that four innings that we had mentioned earlier, had those 8Ks, hit a home run in a losing effort, the term Naodo basically means however the Dodgers lost. So it means Shohei did everything he could, had a great game, but the team lost. So there's a little international nug. You know we're always trying to give you some polyglot information here at Deferred Collusion.
I like that. You know, I will say, though, it does – it's not going to happen very often when Shohei does this on the Dodgers, because the Dodgers won't waste these Shohei years the way that the Angels did. However, it does remind me a little bit of, like, McCourt-era Dodgers. Ooh. When, like, Matt Kemp and Kershaw were, like – it was – what was it, like, 2011, where those guys – where Kemp was having his MVP season, Kershaw was balling, and the Dodgers were still, like, out of the playoffs.
Not even in the hunt.
It's not – Now Oma or now Oda, what is it?
It's in the notes, dude.
Now Oda, whatever. Anyways,
now no.
So whatever it means. Matt Kemp and Kershaw balled out, but the Dodgers still lost. So that's more of a McCourt era thing. I think that we can assume that this won't happen with the Shohei Friedman era.
Yeah, dude, it's pretty good, dude. But now Oda. So that's my best attempt at a Japanese term.
We're a multicultural podcast, Brandon.
Hey, we love finding inspiration from baseball fans all over the world. And speaking of all over the world, dude, why don't we take a look all over the league and just hit a little quick rundown of our standings, yeah, let's
do it.
Jess.
Let's do it quick. Let's not do
Yeah, I'm jumping right into it, dude. I'm going to start with our American League West. My pick for the AL West champions is still in the basement, 51-66, the Sacramento Athletics. The Anaheim Angels, 55-60. The Texas Rangers, finally over 500. They are at 60-56. They are right behind the Seattle Mariners, who made a couple of great moves. Jess, your World Series contender pick, are at 62-53. Only two games out from the hated ones themselves, the Houston Astros, 64-51.
One note on that.
Yeah, hit me.
The Mariners, I think, will win the division. They got the two best hitters at the trade deadline.
That's fair.
They got Suarez and they got Naylor. I think those are probably the two best bats that were available. And they went out and got him. And that was the thing that we were asking. We were saying that the Mariners needed to do for like the past season and a half, two seasons, was that that's what, you know, they need to go out and get bats. And they went out and did it. And they're playing better baseball. So,
yeah, dude. And shouts out Josh Naylor. He has had 10 stolen bases in the last 11 games. That's insane. Not a guy you think of to be moving like that, dude. Fucking Swifty.
Yeah.
That's wild, dude. I think Ichiro had never done that. So Josh Naylor, dude. Mariners legend.
Yeah.
Out in the American League Central, your Chicago White Sox, 42-72. The Minnesota Twins, who gave away everybody but Byron Buxton, pretty much 54-60. The Royals, 57-58. Just not a good team. Guardians, 59-55. Crazy what's going on with Class A, and I can't think of the other pitcher's name off the top right now, but
Luis Ortiz,
bro.
Yeah.
There you go. And the Detroit Tigers going through a bit of a skid themselves, still in first place by six games at 66-50. Our American League East, the damn Baltimore Orioles. Nobody saw them being this bad, but they're down in the basement, 52-63. The Tampa Bay Rays have been up and down the standings all year, but they're at 57-59. The New York Yankees, dude, 6.5 games out of first place, 61-54. They are currently on a 4-6 skid, so tough. They've been leapfrogged by their arch nemesis, the Boston Red Sox. We're at 64-52 and only four games out of first place.
Dude. Our pick to win the division, by the way.
Hey, it was looking bad for a while, but there's a shot, right?
I think they can do it. I think that they're looking pretty good. Roman Anthony just got extended. Jaron Duran is hitting the ball hard again. They have an ace. I could see the Red Sox making a run at it.
Dude, I'm going to hold you to that. I'm digging it. But the Blue Jays are firmly in first place right now. I think they have the best record in baseball, I do believe, at 68-48.
Yeah. No, the Brewers have the best record in baseball.
Ooh, I was wrong. Yeah. I thought.
The Blue Jays have the best record over the past like 25 games or something, 30 games. They've been just absolutely.
Yeah, they do have the best record in the American League. Jess.
You know what's crazy? The Yankees, still, despite how bad they've been playing, they still have the best run differential in the American League.
Wow.
It's wild. But, I just don't see them being able to compete.
That does feel like a lot of bad luck, though, right? Like, it can't, like we were talking about Mookie, like, it can't continue forever, right?
No, but at the same time, they haven't had Judge. You know, they're waiting for him to come back. Max Fried, is he injured right now? I don't know. Yeah. So they're just a little banged up. We'll see what happens. But let's go to the National League. We will start with what everybody knows, the NL West. The Colorado Rockies are it's a nail biter. They're 35.5 games back. They are 30-84 with the worst record in baseball. Mm-hmm. A minus -316 run differential. My God.
Dude, that's abuse.
Yeah, I mean, that's impressive is what it is. Like, to have that kind of a run differential, that's impressive.
Crazy.
That's hard to do in Major League Baseball. The Arizona Diamondbacks, they sold pretty much most of their squad. They are 54-61. They are 12 games back. The Giants have been pretty bad since Rafael Devers came to the team, but they've been playing a little bit better. They won a couple games in a row. They are 58-57. They're 8 games back. The Padres are playing some good baseball. They are 64-51. They are 2 games back of the Los Angeles Dodgers at 66-49. Get it together, boys. All right. NL Central, Pittsburgh Pirates are 49-66. They traded away Ke'Bryan Hayes. He's on the Reds now. They are 21.5 games back. The Cardinals are at 500, 58-58. They shouldn't be. Dodgers gave them that 500 record. They're 13 games back. Cincinnati Reds are in third place at 60-55 with a 10.5 game deficit, and the Chicago Cubs are 4 games back at 66-48 of the Milwaukee Brewers, who have the best record in baseball at 70-44. They are playing amazing baseball. They're 9-1 in their last 10. They've won 6 in a row. They beat the Dodgers. They're playing awesome. Yeah, we'll see. Dodgers, Brewers, maybe. We'll see.
Who knows, dude? Wouldn't be the first time.
NL East, the Washington Nationals, 45-69. They sold off at the deadline. They're 20 games back, but they didn't trade Gore. They didn't trade any of their core, but they did trade a couple of guys away. The Atlanta Braves, their season is pretty much done. They're 47-66. They're 17.5 games back. The Miami Marlins are kind of the story of the past couple of weeks here because they've been playing some really good baseball. They swept the Yankees. They are above. They're 1 game below 500. I thought they were above. I got excited. They're 56-57. They're 8.5 games back. The New York Mets are 63-52. They are going through a rough stretch as well. They are 2-8 in their last 10. They've lost 4 in a row. The Philadelphia Phillies have taken over once again. They are 65-49. Leading that division, and that is your updated major league standings.
Woo! That NL East is fun, dude.
It is. I think that'll probably change hands like a couple more times before the season ends.
Yeah, I really hope the NL West doesn't do that.
I hope so too. That would suck. One note here that you put in here that I want to say is that it's the 20th anniversary, the 20th year of the Heart and Hustle Award. And it's presented to the active players who, quote, exemplify a true passion for the game and who best embody the value, spirit, and tradition of the game. It is also the only award voted on by former players, as each team's winner is chosen by a committee of alumni. The overall winner will be chosen from the pool of team winners by a combination of alumni and fan votes. Past winners were like David Eckstein, Craig Biggio, Grady Sizemore, Pujols, Ozzie Albies, Goldschmidt. A lot of good names. This year, the Dodgers nominee is none other than Andy Páez. So just a shout-out to Andy Páez on a great season and for being nominated for the Heart and Hustle Award.
Atta baby. Yeah. Mr. Páez.
Yeah, so let's see if you win it, buddy. Good job.
Heck yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, man. This has been fun, Jess.
Yes, sir.
Another fucking good one, dude. That was a lot of fun. I'm a little bit stressed out, but I'm envisioning.
Think good thoughts.
Manifesting good baseball ahead.
Positive thoughts. Just think good thoughts. Think good things, and good things will come.
That's right. We're on our hippie stuff here at Deferred Collusion. But if you liked our episode, if you got any comments, tell us anything we might have missed. And if you got any reason to be hopeful for the future, hit us in the comments, dude. We love it.
And if you think we're idiots, I don't want to hear about it.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with a Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.